Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. New guest to the program today, his name is Jason Meyer. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sprott Asset Management based in Toronto. And Jason is an expert on everything to do with flow through. This is going to be a very educational based discussion today. If you're ever wondering about the mechanism of flow through financing in Canada, it's quite integral to the exploration and development space. And Jason is here to tell us everything about it. Jason, thanks for joining us today on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Jason, for investors in Canada and those in the U.S. as well, can you explain what flow through is and if there's anything like it in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world for that matter?
Sure. So flow through shares, which they're commonly known as, I really don't like using that term because really what flow through shares are, they are ordinary common shares that are issued from Treasury. And the only difference between those shares and the shares that you see trading on any quote system is that when the company issues those shares, they agree to expend the proceeds that they raised on what is deemed expiration activities. And these expiration activities are defined in the Income Tax Act in Canada. And when the company actually spends those monies on the expiration activities, they agree to renounce or flow through those deductions to the purchasers of the shares. So essentially what the purchaser of, you know, quote, flow through shares, end quote, is getting is they're purchasing a share and they're able to write off 100% of the purchase price against the current year's income.
So Jason, in theory, if somebody were to make $250,000 in a year and participate in $250,000 worth of flow through financing, are they able to get themselves to a 0% tax situation on income?
Well, essentially, you know, if you want to just simplify things, obviously the marginal tax regime varies from province to province here in Canada. But if we were to simplify it and just say, you know, let's say a 50% marginal tax rate, and a client who is earning $250,000 per year invests, say, $10,000, they'll receive a $5,000 refund or income tax reduction from the government because of that purchase of those shares. So that their money at risk on those particular shares, although they paid $10,000, is in fact only $5,000 because of the tax savings that's generated from that purchase.
Great. So investors who have read news releases surrounding financings probably have seen that there's hard units and then these flow-through units that we're discussing. Oftentimes, the pricing is different between those units. Warrants might be differently positioned. You might have no warrant at all or just a half warrant on these. And oftentimes, the price of the flow-through share is higher. Can you explain the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, so the rationale is fairly simple, is that the companies that are agreeing to issue flow-through shares are giving up that tax benefit. So there is a certain value associated with the renunciation of that tax benefit to the purchasers of the shares. So the way I sort of describe it is that there's this big pie of tax benefits that the company is going to be relinquishing when they actually issue the flow-through shares. And so their way to get a slice of that tax benefit pie is to issue the shares at a slight premium to what hard dollars would be issued at. And then obviously the investor enjoys the balance of those income tax deductions.
What kind of provincial differences are there from, say, Quebec to Ontario or British Columbia in terms of how the flow through is structured? There's also this term floating around called super flow through.
Yeah, sure. So the tax regimes in different provinces actually do vary considerably, and that's because of provincial investment tax credits that would be generated if a company is actually spending money in that particular province. However, super flow-through is a more generic description which describes all mining expenditures that are essentially from surface. And what super means is that these expenditures also qualify for a 15% federal investment tax credit, regardless of which provincial jurisdiction the money is being spent in. So, you know, for example, if there's a, like I said, we'll go back to the $10,000 investment example. You get to deduct the $10,000 from the $10,000 from the current year's income. But if that is a, if that qualifies for the, you know, super flow through, that will also generate a 15% federal investment tax credit that the purchasers of the shares will realize. So that's another $1,500 that the federal government will be granting to the purchasers of the shares. So that, you know, what that essentially does is it further drives down your money at risk, it further drives down your break-even proceeds. And if you look at, you know, say a jurisdiction like Ontario, for every, you know, every $10,000 that you do invest in a in the First Canadian Securities short term super flow through limited partnership, your break even proceeds of disposition are under $5,500. So that is the benefits of such a robust tax regime.
Jason, for those familiar with flow-through, there's a bit of a fear that too much flow-through for a company can be bad, as sometimes the incentive, or all, I should say the incentive for getting into a flow-through share is for the tax benefits, not necessarily as a normal investor coming into a company. What's all the different ways that these flow-throughs can be structured, and is that a true point?
Yeah, I think there's some validity to that point. So, you know, companies can be incentivized, you know, if they're desperate to raise capital to just issue flow-through shares in order to actually get that, like I said, to get those proceeds in the door. You know, and that's my job as the portfolio manager is to really obviously separate the wheat from the chaff and understand if the company is expending those proceeds on what would be a worthwhile project. And given where we are currently, because there has been, you know, the flow-through product has been maligned over the past couple of years, because let's not forget what has driven this has been the underlying commodity. It's essentially a resource type of fund, and resources have struggled the past couple of years. But because of this, there's been very little flow-through money raised, especially in a historical context. And what that's presented us and myself as a portfolio manager managing flow through funds is there is I have a very rich pool of opportunities, very little competition in terms of actually securing those opportunities, and you know, I'm able to have my pick of at the litter. And what we're seeing is pricing is being very is being done on very favorable terms, and you know, I'm pretty confident that this could be a good year, but let's not forget, ultimately, it's going to be driven by what the underlying commodities do.
Jason, you mentioned that the last few years have had less flow through than in the past. Are there any kind of numbers that we can reference in terms of how much flow through was being done in a bull market scenario like 2011, 2010, as opposed to the last couple of years where things have been much less positive for investors?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, 27 was the sort of the pinnacle, so I'll start with that. There was about $2 billion raised in flow-through funds, and then obviously we went into the financial crisis, and obviously all those funds struggled. But if you go back to 2011, there was $880 million raised and by flow-through funds, and that compares to this year, where year-to-date there's been, I don't know, about $150 or $160 million raised. So obviously it's fallen off quite dramatically.
And how seasonal is flow through? There's always this perception that at the end of the year, there's a rush into flow through for obvious tax benefits. Do you find that to be true?
Well, I think there's the demand from clients usually spikes as, you know, later in the year as they get clarity on their tax situation, and obviously that tax horizon and tax payable starts coming into focus. So certainly on the client demand, that increases. However, usually later in the year, there is not a lot of product available, and that's simply because any fund that does raise flow-through proceeds must invest those proceeds typically by year-end. And so that's the situation we're in. So typically we have two fundraising seasons. One is at the beginning of the year, and this year the Sprott prospectus offering raised $50 million. And then we have one later in the year, and our prospectus offering, which is now closed, raised just shy of $24 million. And now we're out with this super flow-through offering that where we're partnered with First Canadian Securities. you know, and the reason why we're comfortable raising the money at this time of the year is, like I said, right now we see a very rich pool of opportunities, and there's a lack of available capital to actually pursue those opportunities. So we think we're in a pretty favorable position to pick the best opportunities out there.
The Sprott brand is synonymous with resources, and I think that it's fair to say that Sprott, or most people involved in the Sprott brand, look favorably upon where we are in the resource space right now, meaning that we're entering a better phase than we've been in the last few years. That certainly would have implications on you running this flow-through fund. I just want to talk to you about the macro picture that you have for the resource space and what you see happening, interesting places that you're looking.
Sure. So right now, I'm probably most constructive on, look, first off, I don't make commodity calls. I'm very much a bottom-up type of investor. But to your point, what the commodity does is going to have an outsized influence on what the portfolio does. And right now, my mid to long-term outlook for gold is quite positive. And really, that's predicated not so much on economic calamity, but just on a scenario where we're going to see much lower growth rates, particularly out of the U.S. for a number of years to come. And the reason for that is essentially huge levels of debt. We're at record high debt levels globally. In the U.S., we're truly in uncharted territory. Demographics is working against economic growth over the mid to long term. We've seen a surge in protectionism, and if you start unwinding all the free trade that's occurred since, the early 1990s and, the birth of globalization, that would have a very negative effect on global growth. And then if you look at, I would argue that's even happening now, where 3% used to be the bogey for U.S. growth. Above 3% would be good U.S. growth, below it would be poor. The last time we had 3% real GDP growth in the U.S. was 2005, and that's pretty noteworthy considering the amount of monetary stimulus that we have put into the system since the global financial crisis. And then, taking another step forward, if you look at sort of where we are with the equities, I've never seen this before, but they do represent deep value. And the reason that's exceptional is because historically gold equities don't really represent any fundamental value, because gold and gold equities has always been held as sort of a portfolio insurance, an uncorrelated asset. But given that the market's been in an 8+ year bull market here, the amount of complacency is truly remarkable. No one sees the need to hedge their portfolio, whether it's using gold or something else. And that's created a situation where the equities represent deep value. And I say deep value, if you look at producers, you look out to 2019 at $1,250 gold, they are free cash flow yielding 20 to 30%. Price to NAVs range from 0.2, 0.3 times to 1 times. Historically, that's been 1.5 to 2.5 times because, like I said, there's been no value here because people have wanted to own the equities in order to get that insurance type of benefit for the portfolio. Price to cash flows are at lowest quartile we've seen in 20+ years. So we're seeing phenomenal value across the space. So if you continue to see gold prices drive higher at some point here, that deep fundamental value will be realized, because there's no way the market will allow these equities and these companies to continue on an unconsolidated basis if they're cash flow yielding 20 to 30%. So it could be a very good time to play these types of funds.
Jason, before I let you go, a couple flow through specific questions. First of all, there's this terminology of a charity-backed flow through that people might be familiar with, but difficult to wrap your head around how that works. I'm not sure if you're involved with this at all, but just an explanation if you can.
Yeah, sure. So essentially, there's just really one more step that's added for, what's become known as the charity flow through, and that the company issues shares on a flow through basis, and at the same time they arrange for someone to purchase those shares at a discount. So it's really just adding one more step, which is the back end liquidity provider, the people that actually purchase those shares.
And one example of that might be, it's the only one that can pop in my head, Triumph Gold Corp got an investment from Gold Corp. They priced the flow through at 53 cents, but Gold Corp bought the back end at 40 cents. Would that be an example of how a charity flow through would work?
Yes, that is that's an exact example of how charity flow through will work, where the company receives premium for the shares at the issue. The liquidity provider, which in the example that you just gave, Gold Corp, received the shares at a discount, and obviously, you know, all the parties are happy.
Jason, for our listeners, many of whom are accredited and Canadians, what type of person do you see typically getting involved in this? Just anybody that's already participating in the resource space and in the private placement financings?
The way I like to describe it is it's someone who is, you know, ideally, and there's always exceptions, but ideally you are taxed fairly consistently at the highest marginal rate, and you look at this type of vehicle as satisfying your sort of small cap resource stocks. And in the case of the super flow through limited partnership that's on offer right now, that would really be more the on the gold mining side. So not general resources, but more sort of small cap gold mining stocks, getting them on an after basis at a significant discount to where you otherwise would acquire the shares.
Excellent, Jason. Well, anybody who's interested from our audience base in getting in touch with you, possibly asking some further questions or getting involved in your fund, how would they best get in touch with you?
For the current offering, they would be best to email the following, jk@firstcanadiansecurities.com.
Excellent. Jason, thanks so much for coming on the program and look forward to getting you back here at some point soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw materials. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?